Let us learn from the words of Lysander Spooner, a lawyer and abolitionist from the 19th century, who we were not taught about in school, yet influential in the cause for ending chattel slavery, writing extensively about the topic. As a change maker, he also managed to create his own American post office, which ended up getting shut down by the US government post office, but thanks to him, we have lower prices on postal stamps.
You may not have ever heard about Lysander Spooner. He's a very interesting guy, though. In 1808, he was born, which makes him about the same age as Robert E. Lee and Abraham Lincoln. We don't know a lot about his early life. He became a lawyer in 1833, but in 1844, he started a company called the American Letter Mail Company to deliver letters between several cities on the East Coast. And the reason he did this was that in 1844, the post office was charging 14.5 cents on average to deliver a letter. That doesn't seem like a lot, but at the time, coins were made out of silver. And 14.5 cents was equivalent to about 3.5 grams of silver. Now today, the price of silver fluctuates quite a bit, but it's in the general neighborhood of $30 an ounce over the last couple of years, which means that in today's dollars, it cost about $3.50 to deliver a letter in 1844. That's obviously a lot more than what we pay now, so where was that extra money going? To a large extent, it was going to the politically connected. And the way this works was that politicians would give special treatment to certain people or certain companies in respect to the post office. So a transportation company that had political allies might get to deliver the mail. Or a family member of a politician might get one of the comfortable jobs that at the post office where there was very little risk of losing your job. But Lysander Spooner came along in 1844 and said that he could lower the rates, and he did. He charged a lot lower prices to deliver mail in these cities. The post office argued that what he was doing was unconstitutional. It said that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gave the post office or the Congress the exclusive right to operate a mail delivery business in the United States. Lysander Spooner, however, pointed out that Article 1, Section 8 only gives Congress the power to do it. It doesn't give them the exclusive power to do it. He argued that anyone could run a mail company, not just the United States federal government. However, in 1845, Congress passed a law, obviously disagreeing with Lysander Spooner, that closed some loopholes that had allowed Lysander Spooner to stay in business. So in 1845, Lysander Spooner was forced out of business by the government. However, in the end, he actually won, because in 1845, that same law lowered the price of mail, of delivering a letter, to 6 cents. And then in 1851, the price dropped again to 3 cents. So even though the government forced Lysander Spooner out of business, Lysander Spooner still had the last laugh, because he was instrumental in forcing the government to lower the rates of mail to something much closer to what we pay today. So when we pay for stamps at the post office, remember, Lysander Spooner, he may have had just a little bit to do with lowering that price.
Being attacked by the media and governments in his day, he also spoke of other forms of slavery that still occurs to this day, in fields that greatly affect us, in particular, politics and economics. This is what he had to say about the Civil War. Quote, "The pretense that the abolition of slavery was either a motive or justification for the war is a fraud of the same character with that of maintaining the national honor. Who but such usurpers, robbers, and murderers as they ever established slavery? Or what government except one resting upon the sword, like the one we now have, was ever capable of maintaining slavery? And why did these men abolish slavery? Not from any love of liberty in general, not as an act of justice to the black man himself, but only as a war measure, and because they wanted his assistance, and that of his friends, in carrying on the war they had undertaken for maintaining and intensifying that political, commercial, and industrial slavery, to which they have subjected the great body of the people, both white and black. And yet, these impostors now cry out that they have abolished the chattel slavery of the black man, although that was not the motive of the war, as if they thought they could thereby conceal, atone for, or justify that other slavery which they were fighting to perpetrate, and to render more rigorous and inexorable than it ever was before. There was no difference of principle, but only of degree, between the slavery they boast to have abolished and the slavery they were fighting to preserve. For all restraints upon men's natural liberty, not necessary for the simple maintenance of justice, are of the nature of slavery and differ from each other only in degree." End quote. But that's not the end of it. Quote, "A man's natural rights are his own, against the whole world, and any infringement of them is equally a crime, whether committed by one man or by millions, whether committed by one man calling himself a robber, or by any other name indicating his true character, or by millions calling themselves a government." Quote, "The number of slaves, instead of having been diminished by the war, has been greatly increased. For a man thus subjected to a government that he does not want is a slave." Quote, "A man is none the less a slave because he is allowed to choose a new master once in a term of years. Neither are a people any the less slaves because permitted periodically to choose new masters. What makes them slaves is the fact that they now are and are always hereafter to be in the hands of men whose power over them is and always is to be absolute and irresponsible." Quote, "Slavery, if it can be legalized at all, can be legalized only by positive legislation. Natural law gives it no aid." Quote, "The principle that the majority have a right to rule the minority practically resolves all government into a mere contest between two bodies of men, as to which of them shall be masters and which of them slaves." Quote, "If any man's money can be taken by a so-called government without his own personal consent, all his other rights are taken with it. For with his money the government can and will hire soldiers to stand over him, compel him to submit to its arbitrary will, and kill him if he resists." Quote, "Government is in reality established by the few, and these few assume the consent of all the rest, without any such consent being actually given." Quote, "The science of justice, or natural law, is the only science that tells us what are and what are not each man's natural, inherent, inalienable, individual rights, as against any and all other men, and to say that any or all other men may rightfully compel him to obey any or all such other laws as they may see fit to make, is to say that he has no rights of his own, but is their subject, their property, and their slave." Quote, "It cannot be said that men put all their rights into the hands of the government in order to have them protected, because there can be no such thing as a man's being protected in his rights any longer than he is allowed to retain them in his own possession. The only possible way in which any man can be protected in his rights is to protect him in his own actual possession and exercise of them. And yet, our government is absurd enough to assume that a man can be protected in his rights after he has surrendered them altogether into other hands than his own. This is just as absurd as it would be to assume that a man had given himself away as a slave in order to be protected in the enjoyment of his liberty." Quote, these tyrants living solely on plunder and on the labor of their slaves and applying all their energies to the seizure of still more plunder and the enslavement of still other defenseless persons, increasing too their numbers, perfecting their organizations, and multiplying their weapons of war, they extend their conquests until, in order to hold what they have already got, it becomes necessary for them to act systemically and cooperate with each other in holding their slaves in subjection. But all this they can do only by establishing what they call a government and making what they call laws. All the great governments of the world, those now existing, as well as those that have passed away, have been of this character. They have been mere bands of robbers who have associated for purposes of plunder, conquest, and the enslavement of their fellow men. And their laws, as they have called them, has been only such agreements as they have found it necessary to enter into in order to maintain their organizations and act together in plundering and enslaving others and in securing to each his agreed share of the spoils. All these laws have had no more real obligation than have the agreements with brigands, bandits, and pirates find it necessary to enter into with each other. For the more successful accomplishment of their crimes, and the more peaceable division of their spoils. Thus, substantially all the legislation of the world has had its origin in the desires of one class of persons to plunder and enslave others and hold them as property. End quote. It is evident that slavery still exists through the man-made system of government. In case you are still questioning or doubting this reality, please watch my video on political slavery, or on how slavery still exists. It is time to evaluate our way out of this slavery. Lysander Spooner provides us with a plan for the abolition of slavery in 1858, which particularly details chattel slavery at the time. If we apply his teachings on political slavery to the modern day, we may form a new plan for the abolition of slavery. Bear in mind that abolishing chattel slavery dealt mostly with physical slavery, whereas abolishing political slavery deals mostly with mental slavery, as the mental or covert leads to all forms physical or overt. Let us begin. To reiterate, the following could be used as a reference for action. To the people and governments of the world, a nonviolent plan for the abolition of political slavery, 2022. We present to you herewith a plan for the abolition of political slavery and solicit your aid to carry it into execution. Your numbers, combined with those of the world and internet, will give you all power. You have but to use it, and the great work is done. The following self-evident principles of justice and humanity will serve as guides to the measures proper to be adopted. These principles are, number 1, that the people have a natural right to their liberty. Number 2, that so long as the governments under which they live refuse to give them total liberty as compensation for enslavement, they have the right to embrace their liberty by self-defense. And number 3, that it is the duty of all who can to peacefully assist them in such an enterprise. In rendering this assistance, you will naturally adopt these measures. Number 1. To ignore and spurn the authority of all political institutions, which the governments have established for the security of their crimes. Number 2. Soon as may be, to take the power of your life into your own hands, and to establish education that slavery will not be tolerated, and also give motivation, inspiration, and purpose toward this human destiny for its continuance. Number 3. To recognize the people as free peoples and as being the rightful owners of the property which is now held by governments but would pass to them if justice were done, to justify and assist them in every effort to acquire their liberty and obtain possession of such property by self-defense, to treat them as you would want to be treated yourself, and defend them meanwhile against any and all violence. To voluntarily sell them firearms and teach them the self-defense use of them. To voluntarily trade with them, to encourage and assist them to take responsible possession of their property and what they produce. And number 4, to form committees or communities in every neighborhood or township whose duty it shall be to stand against the belief in government with universal and timeless educative materials, and do that justice for the people which government refuses or cannot do, and especially to call out all people who presume or support political slavery or man-made authority upon other people. The right of the people is to embrace their own property, to live life as they see fit, so long as it does not enslave or commit violence upon another. They ought to be taught, encouraged, and assisted to do it to the utmost. And to call this embrace of natural property as wrong is to go against the natural right. Nothing shall discredit the truth of individual liberty for all. It is only those who have a false and superstitious reverence for the authority of governments and have contracted the habit of thinking that laws have the power to make that right which is naturally wrong, or that wrong which is naturally right, who will have any doubt as to the right of the people and those who would assist them. Another important measure on the part of the people will be to appeal to all people, so far as that is practicable, by encouraging the humanity and conscience exercised in each individual. People shall also be encouraged to film or document any act of enslavement done unto them. Our plan, then, is: number 1, teach the people to have self-ownership and recognize what is slavery. Make slavery unprofitable and show how it is immoral in all its forms. Allow history to demonstrate why slavery continues or how it only aggregates in the form of governments. Number 2, to cultivate the friendship and confidence of the people, to consult with them as to their rights and interests, and the means of promoting them, to show your interest in their welfare and your readiness to assist them. Let them know that they have your sympathy, and it will give them courage, self-respect, and ambition, and make men of them, infinitely better men to live by as neighbors and friends than the indolent, arrogant, selfish, heartless, domineering robbers and legitimized robbers. And finally, number 3, to apply and practice your morals as soon as possible. And in the meantime, give never a vote to political slavery. Pay no involuntary taxes alongside your community. As witnesses and jurors, give no testimony and no verdicts in support of any political slavery. Perform no military patrol or police service. Do nothing, in short, for sustaining slavery, but everything you safely and rightfully can, publicly and privately, for its discontinuance. A statist or order follower, believer in government or political slavery, would say, slavery is natural. Slavery has always existed. Every society has slavery. Slaves are not capable of taking care of themselves. Well, without masters, the slaves would die off. Where the common people are free, they are even worse off than slaves. Getting rid of slavery would create great bloodshed and other evils. Without slavery, the former slaves would run amok, stealing, raping, killing, and generally causing mayhem. Trying to get rid of slavery is foolishly utopian and impractical. Forget abolition, a far better plan is to keep the slaves sufficiently well fed, clothed, housed, and occasionally entertained, and to take their minds off their exploitation by encouraging them to focus on the better life that awaits them in the hereafter. Without slavery, who will pick the cotton? There will be slavery anyways. If we change the master, we can attain more freedom. If we go to a better plantation, we can attain more freedom. If we can change our master's mind, he will grant us more freedom. If we learn how the slave system works, or we create a better system, we can exercise more of our freedom. If you make these statements, or similar other statements, we have a word specially for you. You are the one who upholds the slave system. we welcome you to the education we also had to learn for ourselves after making such statements. Aid in establishing new voluntary institutions based upon liberty, equality, and right. You will have the satisfaction of doing your part towards bringing into life a great, free, and happy people in the long run, where now all is crime, tyranny, degradation, and death. If, on the contrary, you shall take the aid of political slavery and continue to be under governments, you must forever be the degraded, pettifogging pimps, hirelings, and tools of a few soulless robbers, denying continually the authority of justice and the rights of humanity. The numbers of non-ruling peoples are plentiful compared to those who presume to be the rulers. Let humanity help one another in creating voluntary societies without slavery. Providing any help to this cause will further soon put an end to slavery. Finally, we say to all, correspond with us of this great work. Let each person who receives or sees this information send his thoughts to the one who sent it. This correspondence, we are confident, will be a more interesting literature than history may ever speak, and will enlist the feelings of people to such a degree that we shall be induced to come to your assistance whenever you shall need us in this shared cause. Please accept and exhibit to people this knowledge, which we are intending to distribute very extensively throughout the world, and which we trust will give birth to a movement that shall result not only in the freedom of the people in the world today, but also in the political, educational, moral, economic, and social advantage of the future world. Please also let us hear from you often, informing us of the progress of what work you may have done for this cause. Upon further clarification, when a human being is set upon a robber, ravisher, murderer, or tyrant of any kind, it is the duty of the bystanders to go to his or her rescue, by force if need be. Nothing will excuse men in this non-performance of this duty. This duty being naturally inherent in human relations and necessities, governments and laws are of no authority in opposition to it. On this principle, it is the duty of the people of this country in their private capacity as individuals, without asking the permission or waiting the movements, to go to the rescue of other peoples from the hands of their oppressors. This duty is so self-evident and natural a one that he who pretends to doubt it should be regarded either as seeking to evade it, or as himself a servile and ignorant slave of corrupt institutions or customs. Holding these opinions, we propose to act upon them. Number 1. The formation of associations throughout the country of all persons who are willing to pledge themselves publicly to favor the enterprise and render assistance in support of any kind to it. Number 2. Establishing or sustaining materials to advocate the enterprise. Number 3. Refusing to vote for any person for any civil or military office, whatever. Number 4. Detaching the people of the world from all alliance with governments and inducing them to cooperate with us by appeals to their safety, interest, honor, justice, and humanity. Number 5. Becoming increasingly prepared to stop vital statist acts, self-defending property with a community when it is seen fit. And we anticipate that the public avowal of these measures and our open and zealous preparation for them will have the effect, within some reasonable time, we trust, to detach the people of the world at large from the interest of the governments or the few who seek political power, and finally to accomplish the extinction of slavery. We hope it may be without blood. If the governments, state or national, would abolish themselves with or without political action, we would leave the work in their hands. But as they never can, and as only we can free ourselves, we propose this message to all people. If any considerable number of people will join this great work, it will be an easy and bloodless one, for slavery can live only in quiet and in the sympathy or subjection of all around it. We, the people of your area, believing in the principles and approving generally of the measures set forth in the plan for the abolition of political slavery and in the accompanying address to the people and governments of the world, hereby unite, as it is to be known as Nature is the Answer or any other movement you wish to use for this, for the purpose of aiding to carry out said plan into effect. It is not these words which declare the truth. It is these words which declares our intentions to act on the present truth within nature alone. And we hereby severally declare it to be our sincere intention to cooperate faithfully with each other and with all other voluntary associations, having the same purpose in view and adopting the same platform of principles and measures. Thank you very much for watching. I will have a whole transcript in the description below so you can actually use this plan to action in any community that you are setting up. Let's say you are coming together with a bunch of people, you have community gardens and you all are close and you're all sharing educational materials and you want to know what could be done for action. It could be a helpful little guide for action. Nature is the Answer is the movement that I created to help provide more of the framework for that action of saying, hey, this is why we're doing what we're doing, and that's pretty much it, just to share the education. Of course, you can share this message with anyone you think would be interested in more of the action side of things, but I still encourage that people learn more about the knowledge in general, because that is where we are mostly at, and that's where it needs to continue to be at. The education will lead the way to all the action itself. Generally, however, what was mentioned are guidelines for that action to make it clear that what we are for is not violence. What we're for is self-defense. What we're trying to defend is nature, ourselves, who we are, and we don't want to lose that. And governments are a violation to our nature, to who we are as human beings. We become robots, we become slaves, and it's not who we are meant to be. We're much greater than that, and we realize the core essentialness of freedom and that we must protect it at all cost. And so in order to protect it, we must exercise it and protect others' freedoms in the process. And so that is building communities together and showing the media, showing the world why is it that you're doing this, and hopefully creates ripple effect, or nonetheless, you know that you are doing the right thing. And so I encourage that you stand by it. This is the action. You educate, and then from there, you decide when and how to particularly stop a statist act. And it seems pretty simple. Do not do this. Do not do that. You're not adding anything new into creation. You are simply embracing who you are. And those who would do violence upon you, well, they'd be hypocritical. They would expose themselves. In case you need a bit more of a refresher as to what the action should be, I encourage that you rewatch this video. Thank you for watching.